Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
You're only hired when your friends are around. You're only tall when your family's in town. You're only hired when your friends are around. You're only tall when your family's in town. Price is up.
And there you go, that's called Hard Man. That's from Limerick outfit Post Punk Podge and the Techno Hippies. Limerick, of course, has been home to a burgeoning music scene over the past couple of years, from Russ and Gano Family winning the Choice Music Prize in 2017 to the activities of the Music Generation Limerick Initiative, the DIY LK Music Collective, and of course, Denise Chyla's landmark performance at the National Gallery for Other Voices' Courage series earlier this year. And she was with us, of course, on the programme just a couple of weeks ago. One key figure in this scene is Post Punk Podge, who, along with his Techno Hippies, creates a genre-defying sound, can I call it that, full of humour and musical references and quite often scathing political and social commentary as well. And I'm delighted to say Podge is on the line now to chat about the Limerick music scene and himself and his life. Podge, you're very welcome. First of all, why do you think, let's just, in fact, I'll tell you what, I won't stay with Limerick. I'll go back to what I played, Hard Man. Where did that one come from, post-punk Podge?
Well, I was going up to the shop and this fellow was kind of annoying me. I had some change that I wanted to change in Tesco. And he went to try and rob the book of the change. And I bumped into him again a few weeks later and he was trying to kind of harass me again. So I the song kind of popped into my head that I'd write a song about him.
Well, wait a minute, hold on. Was he a hard man?
He was acting pure hard, yeah. He was trying to intimidate me, you know. So the inspiration for the song kind of came from that. And then I asked the lads TPM if they wanted to jump on the track. I was like, have you any influence like that of hard men that you could write about in Dundalk? And they said, oh, we've got plenty that we could write about. So
right, so Dundalk, that's rappers TPM, that's the new single Hard Man from you guys, which is Post Punk Podge and the Techno Hippies. So let's just take a look. I might as well stay with the Limerick thing I was going to ask there. Why do you think Limerick has become such a diverse and successful musical hub over the past few years? And please don't say it hasn't, because it has.
It's a combination of a lot of things, I think, Dave. And as you were saying, their music gen has been great for young people coming through, and Russ Gano winning the Choice Award as well has been a huge influence on the whole rap and hip hop scene. And the young lads on PX Music there is the main label at the moment. They would have come through Music Gen, and the likes of Pow Pig as well would have come through Music Gen. And then ourselves starting up DIY LK in 2017, we're putting on gigs for a fiver, two or three bands at a time, yeah, bringing different bands from around the country down to play in Pharmacia in Limerick, and then giving all the band, all the money would go to the bands then, you know. So it was very DIY motivated scene.
Yeah, you see, the DIY motivated scene leads to something that, like, for instance, a bunch of years ago, people used to always say that Dublin was the city of 1,000 bands and all that. That's bands living in their own little cocoon in some ways, regardless of how much they hang around with each other, they were doing their own thing. But you've collaborated with other musicians on a lot of your releases. Do you think that collaboration is the key to the success of an independent music scene, especially when you look at Limerick at the moment?
Yeah, I learn something new every time I collaborate with someone, yeah. And it makes the country smaller than, again, where people are interacting with each other and making music with each other. And it's very easy to do it, I suppose, in a technological era we're in now, where it wouldn't have been so easy before, you know?
So let's take a look at what you do and don't do. When you initially got involved in the music scene in Limerick, when was Post Punk Podge actually born?
2016, I released a song, Post Punk Election Party. I was working with Naive Ted. He's a hip-hop producer, remix, electronic, all sorts of electronic music now. He's over the Unseen Music label. And I asked him, would you be up for recording? I was doing some strings and some other music for him. And I asked him to be up for recording a song by me. And then we just started collaborating then on his stuff. And his whole shtick is he wears a Japanese wrestling mask. And he was like, well, if you're going to come out and do a gig with me, you have to wear a mask of some kind. So he came up with the name Post Punk Podge, and it just kind of stuck. And then I just came up with the idea of wearing the envelope with all the different stickers on it then.
Right, but hold on a second. Like, what is it about Limerick and masks? I mean, obviously rubber bandits with the plastic bag. Naive Ted, you mentioned there with the wrestling mask. And you, like, you know, you're this kind of towering fiddle player, punk, kind of running across the stage, whatever. And you've got an unpussed envelope on your head.
I think it just comes from trying to do something different and trying to do something original and making it a bit different, making it a bit more interactive for people. Playing a character, I suppose. Once you're the most stupid-looking person in the room, it's very easy to embrace that and get over any nerves that you might have, because I wouldn't have been a massively confident performer myself before, you know?
So what you're saying is that on stage, bluntly, and you don't mean this in a kind of a bad way, but like you kind of need the mask on stage.
Yeah, I find that it helps me get over my nerves and helps me play a character, I suppose, as such.
Do you know, I noticed in the video, what do you call it, on the mask, right in the middle, the biggest thing on it is PIL, as in Public Image Limited.
Oh, I love them, yeah.
Yeah, are you influenced by them in terms of kind of what they did after punk music with Johnny Rotten, or the actual punk side of it?
Both. The whole post-punk thing, I think, is huge, because you're taking influences from all different parts of your own life.
Yeah.
So that would have been a big influence on me, and I love the Sex Pistols as well, and I love lots of different kind of punk music. So kind of mixing a melting pot of influences, you know.
And would you go for the Sleaford Mods from now? Would you go for the granddaddy of them all, Iggy Pop?
Oh, jeez, yeah. I saw Sleaford Mods actually in Dolan's in 2015, and that was a light bulb moment for me that I could kind of do what I'm doing now. I was like, there's a fella there with a laptop and there's a fella there shouting. I was like, I could do that.
That's right. Yeah, right. Okay, I get you. All right, well, then let's just take a look at some of the things that you do. And like, you know, like some of the, like when you sing certain things or when there's, you know, the theme of some of the songs, do you think you have compassion in those lyrics or is it anger? Or which will be top of the list of both those two? Because they've got to both be there.
It's a combination of both. I find that the music is a form of therapy for myself to often deal with emotions that I have. And I've written about difficult subjects such as depression and the mental health services and domestic abuse. So I wouldn't have been able to tackle a lot of those subjects without having the moniker of post-punk podge, I suppose, in a way, because people have said they're drawn towards the lyrics more because there's someone wearing a mask. So I suppose it helps me in a way to express myself, you know?
I mean, you know, this business of possibly being the Jobs Bridge band for men with anxiety, is there a point where people say, I'm glad you're singing about these things, I'm glad you're saying these things?
Yeah, I've had a really positive reaction to most of the songs that we've done, and people have commended me for being so honest. So I mean, it's just a way we find ways of understanding mental health and talking about it more openly, I suppose, is how we make a joke of it in the band as a job bridge scheme for men with anxiety. Yeah.
And in the world of mental health, you've had your times, haven't you? I mean, you've been hospitalised, you've had some breakdowns, alcohol helped, drugs helped, and you were really like self-inflicted is one thing. And some, do you think you are to blame in some ways for what you've done and now you're better off because you're early 30s?
Well, I'm in my mid-30s now, so I'm not getting any younger, but I just feel like it's about self-care, really, and too much of anything is bad for people. I'm not necessarily against drink or drugs, but if they're causing you problems and they're messing up your life, then maybe it's time to hit them on the head.
And would you go as far as to say that when you look at yourself, we're talking serious psychosis and extreme paranoia and all these kind of things? It's more than just trying to keep your mental health okay. Like, it's bigger than that with you, or has been, I mean.
Yeah, it has been, yeah. I mean, it's still something that I deal with on a daily basis, but music definitely helps a lot, like.
Yeah, and also like the techno hippies, like DJ Jurassic Park 3. What about is it a hype man, Dr. Asparagus Montague?
He's more of gone into a Dr. Dre kind of role now, but DJ Jurassic Park 2 is the main DJ and backing vocalist, and we have various guitarists then to play that fill in when they can, you know, because it's hard to keep a band going. At times with people with busy in their own lives, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And like, is he the one who'd be throwing fake money at the crowd or fake degrees, that kind of stuff?
We did a bit of that, yeah. It's just a bit of crack, really. Like, if you had a degree, you were like a member of the band or something. And the fake money, I don't know where that came. I can't even remember where that came from, really. It was just kind of trying to bring down the euro at the time, taking the piss out of bringing down the euro.
But like, when you sing about homelessness, which you have done, and domestic violence and political corruption and all those things, you kind of take them head on, don't you? So the music has to be kind of, does it have to be dark? It certainly has to be confrontational and probably subversive and very raw.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff is quite heavy. We made a mixtape then, which was instrumental music, which featured a lot more mellow stuff.
Oh, right, did you?
I suppose I'm trying to take all the influences that I have as a musician, because I started off playing classical music and then traditional music and playing bass guitar in bands for years. I'm trying to meld all these influences and put them into a pot, really, which is kind of the original ethos of post-punk, you know?
And were you did you go to the kind of Crawford School of Music kind of thing or something?
No, I went to Limerick.
I thought you went down there. Cork. Okay, and you were learning violin while you were at school, is that it?
From a young age, I started playing the violin at the age of 8, yeah. And then I started getting into the punk scene in Limerick then when I was 15.
And so when you say the punk scene in Limerick, what's the punk scene in Limerick? What was it? I mean, was there a lot of techno, hip-hop?
When I was growing up, there was the AMC putting on gigs, and they were bringing over bands from all over the world, and Limerick bands would be supporting them. So you had bands like Dalek coming over from America, the Icarus Line.
And so that
was a very burgeoning scene for a long time. And just great, and Give a Man a Kick, obviously, from Limerick would have been the biggest band that came out of that scene, I suppose.
Yeah, which is a little while back, actually. It's a little longer than just a few years. What about, you brought out your Kicking Against the Pricks EP. That was the first EP, wasn't it?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, when you take aim, if you like, a direct provision with the song Stuck in the System, and then, you know, the housing crisis with government security and Generation Xanax is mental health stuff. I mean, there's always something. I mean, you even had a song with an Irish title about the victims of the Carrick Mines halting site fire.
I suppose I'm always giving out about something trying to kick against. I know these are just subjects that I would have felt emotion around at the time, and then I would have written the lyrics about, because I thought that it's important to express anger, because it could be a form of self-oppression on oneself otherwise, you know?
So, like, it's oppression of the mind. You have to get the anger out too. That's what I said earlier on about compassion or anger. There's both in there, but there has to be the anger.
It just comes out like that a lot of the time. Yeah, I find it hard to... It's a way of dealing with my own anger, I suppose, yeah.
And would part of that anger be, like in a song like, you know, Never Coming Home, that's kind of in your face, autobiographical. That's you, account of growing up with domestic violence.
It is very much so, yeah.
And all of this then, the character you've created and being on stage and the mask, it all helps, the music and just being... Can I say being another person on stage?
Yeah, I suppose. Well, it's just a version of it's just a side of myself, really, that I couldn't express in everyday life. Like, you couldn't go up to Tesco and roar Gardaí Síochána dressed like ISIS at someone, or you'd be taken away. Like, but this is just my way of expressing myself, you know?
And to get something out first for Naive Ted to come to you to know about it, did you just put something up on SoundCloud? And if so, like, what name did you have when you did that?
I had some violin pieces up as Paddy Courage, and he would have heard those pieces, and he actually sampled a little part from one of them for Same Difference, who are a hip-hop group from Limerick that he was producing at the time.
All right.
So it's just kind of a happy accident, really. The whole kind of scene is interlinked, really, with people helping each other and doing favours for each other and supporting each other, you know?
Yeah, because, like, you know, if you take a town like Detroit, as you said yourself, in America, it's not exactly up there with the main ones and that. But, I mean, you would have said that Limerick is the Detroit of Ireland. But things are getting better, are they? Things are changing.
I mean, there has been a lot of social difficulties, but I think there's the art scene now, and the way Limerick has done well in the hurling in recent years has really risen it from the ashes that was, you know?
But you have one, Stab City is Burning. That, like, that's a real past thing, Stab City, isn't it? That's just, you know, it's not what it is, it's not what it's going to be, and it's not what it has to be. It's just what it was, what it was called.
It was kind of a name that was taken on by the press in the early 80s, yeah. The song is a positive song about all the things that are positive things that are happening, and that's what I wanted to portray in the song, that name is no longer ballad, you know. I mean, we had the Fail in the Grana Festival last year, which was a huge success. That was bringing independent artists from all around Ireland to Limerick for one weekend. And that was like a combination of Lower Your Expectations and DIYLK, which are the two collectives working together. And we can't do that now because of COVID this year. So we're making a documentary featuring Bleeding Heart Pigeons and Hey Rusty and his father's voice, and Denise Murley and God Knows, and myself and Gavin Da Vinci are in the documentary.
And when is that coming out?
That will probably be December, January, I'd say.
All right, okay. And by the way, just in relation to the mask again, is that in a way taking the brown envelope euphemism and turning it on its head?
I wanted to kind of take the brown envelope as it's a symbol of corruption in the country, and I wanted to kind of twist that and put my own sense in it, you know, that it can be a symbol of kicking against all the corruption that has happened. Like,
because, you know, like on that single that I mentioned that I played earlier, you know, you're challenging the hard man persona. And on the other releases you've challenged, as I mentioned, the government's action in relation to direct provision. So it's subject matter like that and a minimalist approach to the production of the music. Do you think your music, like, I mean, I know we mentioned post-punk and we mentioned PIL, and I've also mentioned Iggy as the grandfather of it all. Then, you know, the Sleaford Mods in the middle of it all too. What about you know, the Captain Beefheart side of things, who made some great music playing the piano that she couldn't, or sorry, writing on the piano, but he couldn't really play it.
That's right, Trout Mask Replica was that album.
Oh my God, I love Trout Mask Replica, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. He had the band locked up in the house and he wouldn't leave them out.
Yeah. He used to feed them water biscuits under the door, I believe.
Jeez, that's a bit extreme now.
It worked, you know. He's got some good, yeah, Ice Cream for Crow was a good one as well. Okay, so, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, do you think that the punk ideal is a very important thing and it can't just be the PIL, post-punk or whatever, industrial?
I think it's important that it takes those influences and moves forward, and there is artists doing that, like there's Rising Damp as well, who's another artist that's taking post-punk and mixing it with techno, like myself.
Okay.
Down in Cork. So I think it's just taking post-punk was always taking, say, reggae, funk or disco or krautrock and or electronic music and mixing that with punk. And I think that now at this stage I'm trying to mix it with like techno and electronic sounds and other sounds, that it's just a healthy moving on as opposed to being a post-punk.
Absolutely. Well, then let's finally.
Not that there's anything wrong with that either.
No. Well, then let's finally look at the moving on then, which is post-punk Podge and the techno hippies. It's out now. It's Hard Man is the current one. That is. Are you going to go away? Have you been to? There was talk of you going to London. Did COVID stop that, or did you go?
That ended up not happening at all. I'm still trying to get money back from Ryanair, to be honest.
Oh my God, join the long queue. I'll tell you what, talk to Joe. Anyway, what are we going to have next from post-punk Podge and the techno hippies? What's like, is there such a thing as, or do you care about an album?
Oh yeah, I've been working on an album now for the last year, so that's kind of in the final stages now of getting mixed.
Yeah.
So hopefully I'm going to have it out before the end of the year, because for people to listen to like a long player, you know.
All right, well, you better hurry up. Halloween's only a few weeks away. You know what happens?
Know,
the day after Halloween, it's Christmas Day. You well know that. All right,
yeah.
Listen, Podge, it's been a real pleasure and I really wish you the best of luck, and you've got a lot behind so far, and now's the time to get that album out. So good luck, Podge, and take it easy. And thanks a million for talking to us.
That's great, Dave. Thank you very much for having me on.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.